Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, A User's Guide to Democracy, by Nick Capitis and Hannah McCarthy, is a nonfiction civics guide that explains how the United States government actually works. Built from the perspective of the long-running Civics 101 podcast, the book is designed as an accessible primer rather than a legal textbook. Using plain language explanations and cartoon illustrations to make federal institutions easier to understand. Its focus is on the structure, purpose, and practical behavior of American democracy, especially the legislative, executive, and judicial branches. The book helps readers connect familiar election season questions to the deeper machinery of government, such as what elected officials do, why Congress is organized the way it is, and how the Supreme Court fits into the constitutional system. It is especially aimed at readers who want a clearer grasp of civic basics without needing prior expertise, making it useful both as a refresher and as an entry point into you. Civics. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book frames U.S. democracy through the three co-equal branches of government. A central strength of the book is its clear explanation of the legislative, executive, and judicial branches as separate but interdependent parts of the federal system. Rather than treating government as a single monolithic institution, the authors emphasize that each branch has distinct duties and that none is meant to dominate the others. This structure helps readers understand why power in the United States is divided and why that division matters in practice. The book uses this framework to show that democracy is not only about elections, but also about how authority is distributed after votes are cast. By organizing the material around branches, the authors give readers a map for interpreting news about Congress, the presidency, and the courts. That makes the book especially useful for readers who know the names of institutions, but not how they relate to one another. Secondly, checks and balances are presented as a design feature, not an accidental complication. The book places heavy emphasis on the constitutional logic behind checks and balances, especially the idea that each branch is supposed to restrain the others. This is not presented as a flaw in government, but as one of its defining safeguards. By drawing on the Madisonian principle that ambition must counteract ambition, the authors explain why the system was built to slow power down and make action harder. That framing matters because many readers encounter government mainly through frustration, with delays, vetoes, hearings, and legal challenges. The book helps reclassify those processes as intentional protections against concentration of power. It also clarifies why American democracy often appears messy or inefficient. The system is supposed to require negotiation, compromise, and institutional resistance. This explanation gives readers a practical lens for understanding gridlock without reducing it to mere dysfunction. Thirdly, Congress, especially the Senate, is explained as an institution built for delay and debate. The legislative branch receives particular attention because it is where collective decision-making becomes most visible and most confusing. The book explains that Congress is not designed to operate like a fast-moving executive office, but rather as a deliberative body that can absorb disagreement and force public bargaining. The Senate is described as created for debate, which helps readers understand procedural tools like extended discussion and obstruction as part of its historical identity. This is valuable because it shifts the reader from asking why Congress is so slow to asking why it was made that way. The book also clarifies that congressional inefficiency can serve a constitutional purpose by preventing legislation from passing too easily. At the same time, it shows how the same structure can make the chamber seem disconnected from urgent public needs. That tension between deliberation and responsiveness is one of the book's most important civic lessons. Fourthly, the book explains executive power through ordinary government functions rather than abstract theory. Instead of focusing only on presidents as political symbols, the book grounds the executive branch in the daily work of governance. It asks readers to think about what officials such as the Secretary of Defense actually do, which turns a remote branch of government into a set of concreter responsibilities. This approach helps demystify the executive branch by showing that it is less about ceremony and more about administration, enforcement, and coordination. Readers gain a clearer sense of how federal power operates through agencies, cabinet officials, and implementation decisions. The value of this section lies in its practical orientation. It connects constitutional structure to the experience of government as something that acts, manages, and enforces. For readers who mainly follow presidents as public personalities, this is a corrective that broadens the understanding of executive authority. It also helps explain why so much of government depends on people other than the president alone. Lastly, the closing discussion of the Supreme Court shows how judicial decisions shape civic understanding. The book ends by using important Supreme Court decisions to illustrate how constitutional interpretation affects everyday public life. This section helps readers see the judiciary not as an isolated legal elite, but as a branch whose rulings can define rights, limits, and institutional boundaries. By including a roundup of significant cases, the authors create a bridge between abstract constitutional ideas and real historical outcomes. That is especially useful for readers who may recognize famous cases, but not understand what those decisions reveal about the court itself. The judicial section also rounds out the book's larger civic project by showing that democracy is interpreted and contested through law as well as through elections. This gives the book a broader educational value than a simple overview of branches. It teaches readers how constitutional meaning is actually made in practice. As a result, the final chapters deepen the book's usefulness as a civic reference rather than just an introductory summary. In conclusion, A User's Guide to Democracy is best suited for readers who want a clearer, more usable understanding of the United States government without wading through dense academic writing. Students, first-time voters, podcast listeners, and adults who feel uncertain about basic civics will all benefit from its direct explanations and well-organized structure. The book is practical because it turns broad constitutional ideas into recognizable institutions, procedures, and responsibilities. It is also intellectually useful because it shows that confusion about government often comes from misunderstanding design choices rather than from a lack of intelligence or attention. Compared with many civics books, it stands out for combining accessibility, historical context, and institutional analysis in a format that feels current and readable. Its connection to the Civics 101 podcast gives it a conversational clarity that many reference books lack, while the illustrations and concise structure make it easier to retain. For readers who want to understand not just who governs, but how and why the system behaves the way it does, this book offers a strong and approachable foundation. If you would like to support Nick Capodice, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.